and 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve as we'll close out this series. So if you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to get a bit of a head start. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. The verses will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible with you today, you can follow along there. As you're turning, though, let me share a few things with you. It's important, I think, for you as a community to know in terms of things going on in our church. Yesterday, we had a great ministry opportunity, Coats for the Cold. For the past seven or eight years, we've been giving out coats to those in need in our community. Last year, we did, I think, 1,100 coats, she said, that we gave out. We had a great ministry day yesterday. After all was counted, we gave out 1,600 coats yesterday and jackets. So that's an amen. Thank you. Thank you for bringing those. Great ministry. Many people came and needed coats. They don't need them today, but they will Tuesday because it's Texas. So we're grateful. Thank you for bringing coats, Grace Point. You're so good at always just stepping up and providing, you know, what we need as I share it with you. So thank you for that. And thank you for those who came to help. Many people came and were part of the ministry effort yesterday. So we had a great day of ministry yesterday. Let me remind you that after this service, Grace Point 101, so if you're not a member and you'd like to know more about Grace Point Church, we invite you to come and join us out in the lobby after this service. Child care and lunch is provided. It's just an opportunity for you to come and to hear more about who we are and our beliefs and our vision and our history and direction we're going. I'll teach that after this service, okay? So we invite you to come. Many signed up. Even if you haven't signed up, we always have room for extras. So we, if that's something you're interested in, we invite you to stay and to join us after this service. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or so that we spend together. They're talking about kind of who we are and helping you have more information as you're seeking to know where God wants you to be as far as a church home. So that's right after this service. And then Wednesday night is our Flannel Fest. Our Flannel Fest Wednesday night from 6 until 7:30. We'll meet in here at 6 o'clock and we'll worship together. And then we'll go out into the lobby and other areas that are prepared for you as families and together as a church. It's a great opportunity for us to come together as one church and decorate cookies, put them on a giving plate, and then the idea is just to minister and encourage those by giving those away, neighbors, coworkers, friends, maybe other family members. So it's a good opportunity for us to come together and to worship together and then also just to spend some time together. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be here. Listen, I bought a new suit for this. Like my bright orange suit for Fall Festival was cool, and my flamingo suit last year for BES was even cooler. But I'm going next level. This one may or may not light up, is what I'm saying. All right? Tis the season. So, you know, that'll be here. I'll be glad to take pictures with your family. You put on the card and send it out if you want. So, no problem. $19.99. So, $20, man. If you're a member, $15. So I hope you'll come be a part of that. It's a good time together. It's just time to celebrate the season and the Lord and church family and serving and giving. So that's Wednesday night here. Meet here at 6 o'clock in the worship center. And then elder nominations, church family, I need to say that. We are elder-led here at Grace Point Church, and we term our elders, so there's kind of an exit ramp, so to speak, in three-year terms. And so at the end of each year, you always hear me talk about this in December. And so here we are again, and there's been two men that have served a term with us, Ed Dixon and Doug Sevier. And so they'll be exiting from the elder body, and so we'll be nominating as a church. You nominate two more elders to replace those two guys to join the rest of us as elders. So I know Ed's here. Ed, stand up. Let us say thank you, my friend, for serving faithfully the elders, brother. Thank you. I don't know if Doug's here. Doug was in the first service. Are you still here? There he is. There he is. Doug Sevier. Thanks, Doug. Thank you. Thank you, brother. These guys and all the elders, these guys do so much behind the scenes. You never see it, never know it. The meetings and ministry and just they just give everything. And so I'm thankful for those guys and for all the elders who govern and help us govern and lead Grace Point Church. So two will be nominating you as a church family, nominating two more elders. And there's this packet of information. I'm not going to go through it all like I've done in the past. I've listed the cover letter talks about elders as leading us and the governing body of the church. And then It has the qualifications of elders. It has the requirements of elders. Everything you need to know about elders and our process is in this packet, okay? So they are out in the lobby. You can pick one of those up. No elder nomination forms are in there. And then after you pray about that, you can put that in. There's a box out there. You can put the nomination forms in. That will go through the end of December, okay? Now, if you don't want to deal with the hard copy stuff, everything in this packet is on the website, all right? So if you go to the website, gracepointdenton.com, and up in the top right corner, up there on our website, in the right top corner on the right, right there. Top right, on the right, it's up high. It says elder nomination. It's small. That's why I'm doing it. And you click on that, and it takes you to everything that's right here. Okay, and then you can even fill out a nomination form online. Send that in. Come straight to me, and you know I'll put those with the rest of them. If you want to do that, register, fill this out on the website on the top right corner. So you'll see that. Okay. All right. Other things on the bulletin there, but just kind of engage us through to looking. Through those, so I can just jump into this series, Psalm 23, verse 1, and then we're going to baptize. We got a lot of people to baptize, which is a praise the Lord, so shorter sermon, so it's a win-win for you guys, so baptize them, short sermon. So it's the time, we're giving gifts, we're buying gifts, we're receiving gifts. You know, it is the season, right? This is when it's happening, and just imagine for just a minute, imagine it. Christmas morning, gifts are underneath the tree, and all the gifts with your name on them right there. And you see those gifts, and you decide, you know what? This year, I'm not going to open my gifts. I'm thankful for the gifts you've all given me, but I think I'm just going to leave the gifts there unopened. And you do. And every day in 2019, you walk by those gifts through the house because you left your tree up all year round this year in the illustration. So you walk by those every day, those unopened gifts. You don't open them. You sure don't get to use them. You aren't blessed by them. They don't encourage you in any way because you left them unopened under the tree. When we think of Psalm 23, I think that there are a lot of gifts in Psalm 23. We're going to see that. I won't even be able to list them all just in the 5 weeks I'm preaching. There's so many. But I'll grab a few, and I'll take big picture. But I think at times, you know what we do? We leave the gifts that God has given us under the tree, so to speak. And we don't receive those gifts. We don't open those gifts. We don't walk in those gifts that God has given us. I don't think it's intentional for the most part. I think maybe unintentionally, we don't understand. We don't see. And so this morning, what I want to do and over these next few weeks is kind of open these gifts, if you will, and to see what God has given you and me in Psalm 23 so that we can begin to enjoy the gifts the Good Shepherd has given us in Psalm 23. And today I want to look at the gift of enough. The gift of enough. Psalm 23, verse 1. Now here's the deal. The main idea here this morning is that no matter what inadequacy or hardship or difficulty you are facing, if the Lord is your shepherd, and we're going to get to that, the Lord is your shepherd, He can and will meet all of your needs. All of your needs. Not all of our wants. There's a difference. The Lord is my shepherd. Right? So let's talk about that. The needs that we have. And we see that when He becomes our shepherd, right, our desires change. All right? We're going to see that in just a minute. So David is saying in Psalm 23, I think through this whole psalm and this morning, it's his way of saying that God is more than enough to meet whatever lack of constraint I might have or impossibility that I might encounter, that God is more than enough. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look at just three verses today, okay? And we'll take one, and then we'll really kind of go quickly through two and three. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. So here's the takeaway number one is this. It's a question. Who is your shepherd? Who is shepherding you? Now, I believe that we can have the Lord as our Savior, but the world becomes our shepherd. I think that can happen. I mean, he's always our shepherd and wanting to shepherd us. But sometimes as sheep, we might go astray and we might try to shepherd ourselves. We know better. We know where the green pasture is. We know where the water is. We know where it's better, right? And so we maybe shepherd ourselves. Or we let the world shepherd us. Or we let some other people shepherd us, direct us, guide us, care for us, provide for us, ultimately. So the question I start with and ask myself is, who is your shepherd? Now, David, the author of Psalms, himself being a shepherd, the son of a shepherd, he declares the Lord is. No question, Lord is, not might be, could be, wanna be, but the Lord is my, so he makes it very personal. Not a shepherd, he is my shepherd. And I want to suggest to you this morning that everything that follows in Psalm 23, all the gifts that God wants to give us, hinges on those five words. The Lord is my shepherd. And so it's kind of an attack, this psalm, on self-sufficiency. This stubborn independence, as we talk about sheep even, and the similarities, this stubborn independence that at times makes us want to deal with our own needs in our own way. I got this. I can handle it. I can deal with it. I don't. And I think of all the sins, you know, we battle and commit. That's got to be towards the top, this self-sufficiency, fundamentally the sin of pride. It's thinking that I can function independently of God. I just need to take care of myself. And somewhere along the way, I think, and I don't know that it intentionally happens. I don't think, I mean, some situations, but if we're not careful, one of the things that happens is we begin to diminish our view of our shepherd, of God. Diminish the view, right, of Jesus. So it's good to remember when we say the Lord is my shepherd, right? Now let me just read Colossians 1. All right, this is who he is. He is the image, talking about Christ, right? He's a shepherd. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's our shepherd. In him, everything holds together. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, it's a statement of relationship, David is saying. That the maker of heaven and earth is deeply concerned about you as a person. Now, I'm going to give you through this thing, when you think about the analogy of shepherd and sheep, that the Lord is our shepherd, right? He shepherds us, his sheep, and then a literal shepherd who shepherds his sheep, all right? That's what's going on here. So when David's writing that, that's kind of the context, the idea. So I'm going to talk a lot about just the practical side of a shepherd and sheep, and then you're going to have to, you can bridge the gap and take it to the analogy of us and God. If I did that every single time in this psalm, it would take us forever. So I'm going to give you some takeaways, and I wish I could stop every time one just dings in my head. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Do you see that? But we have to kind of keep moving. So here's the principle of truth with sheep and the shepherd, all right? The lot in the life of any particular sheep depended on the man who owned it. All right, the lot of life for a sheep depends on the shepherd that owns it. So there's one there. You get that? Right? Our life will be greatly, is dependent on who is our master, who is our shepherd. That's why I asked the question. Who is your shepherd? So some shepherds in this day and even today, but some shepherds, thinking of Psalm 23, were kind, loyal, and selfless, constantly taking care of their sheep. Others were unkind and not caring. And so some sheep, because of their shepherd, would struggle and endure a life of hardship. So under one shepherd's care, under one man's care, some sheep would thrive, and under another situation, they would not. It depended on the shepherd. Who is your shepherd? Philip Keller wrote a book on Psalm 23, and I'll quote him many times. He says this. He says, "I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant shepherd. He ought never have been allowed to keep sheep. His sheep were always thin, weak, and riddled with disease. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the fence at the pastures my flock enjoyed. If they could speak, I'm sure they would have said, 'Oh, to be set free from this awful owner.'" Who is your shepherd? So I think it's an important question, because I think also we are led by our shepherd, and I think we worship our shepherd. We worship the one who shepherds us. Human beings, by their very nature, we are worshipers. Worship is not something we do. It defines who we are. You cannot divide human beings into those who worship and those who don't. Everybody worships. It's just a matter of what or whom we serve. And so the good shepherd, from the first thing in the morning until late at night, the good shepherd is always alert to the needs of his sheep. He rises early, goes out first thing in the morning without fail to look over his flock. He is their first personal contact of the day. You get that one now, right? See, there's another one right there. Shepherd and sheep. And so that's what the good shepherd would do. The first interaction those sheep would have would be this good shepherd who's out there checking to make sure they're safe from the night. He examines each one of them and can instantly tell if something's wrong with one of the sheep. And then during the day, his eye is constantly on the flock. He kind of sleeps with one eye open, and his ear is very attentive in case the sheep are ever in need. This is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Right, so the Lord is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? Who are you allowing to shepherd you, to guide you, to direct you, to provide for you? Are you shepherding yourself? Is it the world? Is it another person? Right, the provision of God is connected to this first. These first five words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then look what he says next. He says, "I shall not want." So when the Lord is our shepherd and truly our provider, we have everything we need. But when we start looking to other things or other people or the world to shepherd us, let's say the world to shepherd us, those things will never satisfy us. Therefore, we will always be wanting more and more and more. So if I'm wanting more of the world, I thought about this myself. I think, well, why then times do I wrestle with that, wanting more worldly things? I do that at times. And so God just reminded me, when I'm wanting more of the world than I do the things of God, I'm allowing the world to shepherd me and not the Lord to be my shepherd. And when the world is my shepherd, guiding me, providing for me, showing me, leading me, the world will never satisfy. So therefore, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The world is my shepherd, I shall always want. Because the world never satisfies. So when the Lord is our shepherd, though, we shall not want. I'll say it this way. The provision of God is always enough for the people of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. All right, now that's a Pastor Dave original, so write that down. I quote everybody else. That's a once every 10 years I get a good one. So let's write it down and let's all say it together. No, I'm just kidding. The provision of God is always enough for the people of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. So there's that backdrop. That's the will of God, right? We talked about this in praying, right? In the will of God, he answers and he hears. I shall not want. So sheep, we know sheep don't take care. They just don't take care of themselves. They require a lot of endless and detailed attention. And it's not an accident that we're called sheep and God is our shepherd. The behavior of sheep, many say humans, there are some similarities in there for sure. Sheep are fearful at times. Sheep are stubborn at times and think they know better. Sheep can be timid. Sheep can have this mob mentality at times. Psalm 23 is all about the great lengths. One of the main things is about the great length that God goes to as our shepherd to provide for his sheep. And when he says, I shall not want, the main idea, certainly I think it's not lacking, is what he's saying. But listen, it also carries the idea of being completely content in the good shepherd's care that I don't have to have anything more. So let's just, now I know there's certain situations and I totally get that, okay? But for the most part, let's just think about this. When we, at the end of the day, when we sit back and we look at all that God has provided for us and our family, I think we can all say God has given us more than enough. If we can get ourselves to that place, and that's kind of where we're going here, besides some still waters and a green pasture to lie down, right? But if we can just, I'm not saying that it's wrong, you know, when we desire some more things, but at the end of the day, when we look around and see that all that God has provided, we see this, I think is truth, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because his provision has been good for me, and it continues to be good for me. And contentment, listen, contentment should be one of these marks of us as sheep of the Lord, you know, as believers. And Paul said, you know, I learned to be content. So I think it takes time. I think we have to learn it, right? It's not just instant, not just, well, hear a sermon and go out. But I think we need to learn this place of contentment to be good with all that God has provided. I'll speak for myself. If there was not even one thing underneath the tree at the Smith House on a Christmas morning, every one of us in that family would still and should still, I'm not saying they would, but should still be able to stand together and say, that's all right, we got more than enough here. Really. If you get dependent on all that stuff to make you happy, then God is not, he is not shepherding you. It's that stuff wrapped up under the tree. You're looking for those things to give you purpose and meaning. Does that mean, no, I'm not saying, don't go home and say, Pastor Dave said we can't have Christmas this year. And then your children hate me. I'm not saying that. No. Put the presents, I mean, it's an illustration. We're going to have presents under the Smith tree. But my point is, you know, understand where my heart is on that and where our hearts are is we have to see the provision of God as enough right where we are right now and not depend on more, right, to have that contentment that there's this kind of marks us as believers that we've learned to be content with what God and our circumstances, whether they're great or whether they're not very good at all. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Philip Keller was telling about a sheep that he had. This sheep was in perfect condition, man. This was the most attractive looking sheep. Man, everything was perfect. And he said, but there was only one fault with this sheep. Despite all her perfection, the one fault was she was restless and discontent. And she was, he called it a fence crawler. A fence crawler is when you go into the shepherd leads them to the pasture. So we had, and that in itself is work. The sheep don't know where the greenest grass is or where the healthy, safe water is, right? They don't know. So the shepherd has to go and he has to find that place and he's going to clear this. We'll talk about this later. Clear this pasture to make sure it's safe before the sheep come in and lie down and eat and graze and stay there. And so he said he had this one fence crawl that every time they would get into the pasture, she would go along the fence and she was always looking for a hole to try to get through the fence to get out, to get to the other pastures on the other side. It's kind of like that grass is always greener. You've heard that, right? Grass is always greener on the other side. I'll give you Pastor Dave's version of that. If you've been with me for a while, you've heard it. But let me remind you, be careful. The grass is not always greener on the other side, although the grass is always greener over the septic tank. That is true. We grew up with a septic tank. I cut the grass. It was always taller and greener and higher over the septic tank. I'm just telling you, be careful. Be careful. That pasture may not be quite as green, if you know what I'm saying, that you're looking at. Fence crawler, he said this sheep was. I was never content with what's right in front of her. And it was good. It was good pasture. Everything the sheep needed was provided. But she was discontent. And she was always looking to crawl out. And he said she would get out. And as the good shepherd, I would go after that one. There's another one right there. I would go after that one, and when I would find her, she was always eating dead brown grass in a dried out pasture that had no water. That's where I find her. And a lot of times she wasn't in good shape. So I'd pick her back up, and I'd bring her back over to the green pasture with the flock. That discontent, listen, that when we're not content, we start to get restless, and there's an analogy there. Sometimes we have all this right in front of us of all that God has provided for us. The greenest pasture, the water to drink, that he satisfies us in this life. And we start thinking, well, you know, there's probably, I don't know, there's greener pasture over there. I'm not happy here. I want to go over here. I want to look for someplace over here. Right? And we start to shepherd ourselves, and we get discontent, and man, before you know it, you're in a dried out field eating burned up grass and you're sick spiritually and you're miserable and you're unhappy. Because somewhere along the way, you stopped believing and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It happens. It happens to us. David is saying this. I'm completely satisfied with his management of my life. The shepherd, I shall not want. Now listen, you might be in a season. You're wrestling with that. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. I go through seasons where things happen, you know, and crisis and tragedies and horrible things. And I think, man, God, what are you doing here? So, but overall, are you happy to be satisfied with the management of your life? When we say, I shall not want, that's what we're saying. He goes on and says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And this translates in the original Hebrew text, it translates this way. In pastures of grass, he makes me to lie down. Upon waters of rest, he guides me. He guides me upon waters of rest. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now there's a whole, that's always caught my attention. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So I've always thought like, All right, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean like if I'm running really hard, and I'm going in an unhealthy way because I'm running so hard, boom, he makes something happen to me and he makes me lie down on my back? Is that what that means? I don't know because I don't have time to talk about it. So let's move on. But it's a great question, isn't it? Awesome question. I've always wondered that. So maybe next week we'll explore it. He makes me. Have you ever noticed that? He makes me lie down. He makes me. There's something there. All right? There's something there. So come back next week, maybe, and we'll get to it. As you look closely, though, at this text, you see it's clear that God's, don't miss this, God's care for his people is extensive and all-encompassing. God is working on your behalf when you don't even see it to provide for you. And so, as I said, the shepherds would go and they would clear a pasture and they would make it good so the sheep could come and graze and they would lie down. Now, I'm going to breeze over a lot of stuff, okay, just for time's sake, but there's four things that need to be present before, literally before sheep lie down. And you can make the jump here, okay? Number one, they must be free from fear among, you know, predators coming in from the outside. They have to have that freedom of fear before they lay down. Second, they need to be free from conflict, even conflict within the flock, all right, with other sheep. Third, they need to be free from pests, flies, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. You know what my head with oil has to do with flies, okay? So they had to be free from those pests. And then the fourth is they must not be hungry for them to lie down. Those four things had to be present before the sheep would lie down in the pasture. Now, here's the deal, okay? It was the shepherd who provided freedom from those things. It was the shepherd, which leads me to take one number two. The shepherd's presence makes the difference. That's what made the difference. That's how they could lie down in the pastures. The one thing that quieted and reassured the sheep more than anything else was the presence of their shepherd in the field. Psalm 139. God sees when we rise and are coming and going, right? The omnipresence of God. So the shepherd's presence for sheep literally makes all the difference. When they would see their shepherd, it quieted and reassured them. They lay down. The presence of their protector, provider, comforter brought them peace like nothing else could do. This is what our good shepherd does for us. His presence. Now, so that means as you go into your pasture, so to speak, this week, school, home, work, neighbor, whatever, wherever that is, right? There's this recognition, Psalm 23, right, that the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, he goes with me, right? His presence is what calms me in the middle of the chaos in the workplace or at school or whatever it may be, that I start to think about this tomorrow when it's going down, when things are happening, and God brings Psalm 23 to your mind. That's how this works. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. His presence makes a difference. Let's keep going. He leads me beside still waters. So takeaway number three, he provides all we need. So he was able to provide a place where there was good, clean, safe water. If not, the sheep would find their own water. A lot of times they would drink bad, polluted water, thinking it would satisfy them, but it never did. It did them harm. Just like sometimes we don't want to wait on God. We'll go find our own. And we do. It's a bad, polluted, worldly. So he provides all we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Let's go to, he provides all, he leads me beside still waters. So the still waters, I think it does make a difference. I think it calms the sheep as opposed to any loud running water. It also allows them the shepherd to bathe the sheep, to clean the sheep, to check on the sheep there in the still waters. Okay, more there, but let's move on. He restores my soul. So takeaway number four, God is always ready to restore and strengthen you. Always ready. There are times our soul needs to be encouraged and strengthened. And here, I think he's talking about as a shepherd, there were times when the sheep would get on their back and get maybe it's caught into a crevice or something. In some way, they got on their back and they couldn't turn back over. It's called being cast down. And when the sheep were cast down, the only way they could be restored back was by the shepherd. And so David is saying in those times when we're hurting and our soul is crushed and when we're broken, it is the good shepherd. He restores us. He heals us. He puts us back in the place that he wants us to be as we walk forward after we've been down or broken or discouraged. He restores my soul. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So taking one number five, God is for you. We see that. We just read all that. There's a lot more gifts there, but we just read all that. God is for you, but also how it ends there, God is for God. God is for God. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for the glory of God, right? So it's for the good of his people and for the glory of his name as he provides, right? His provision is good for us. It's good for us. And then ultimately, for his name's sake, he is glorified, right? As he is our good shepherd. Where's the hope? My hope is in God's promise to provide all I need to live the abundant life. That's where my hope is, that God will provide everything I need. If indeed I'm saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And let me just finish with this, just encourage you that God is our shepherd. He's shepherd of the past, the present, and he's shepherd of the future. But I think maybe sometimes, I know for me, if I'm not careful, maybe is that I run a little bit too far ahead. Right? And so I thought about this as I was writing and studying, is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in my mind I thought, today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not even this is the month or the year or the week, but this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. How do I do that? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray together today. Will you stand with me with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we continue worshiping and we lead into our time of baptism and worship through baptizing, but with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a few moments as we just pause and we just reflect a little bit this morning on Psalm 23 and the goodness of God as he has provided. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Thank you that you desire to shepherd us. I pray that from our time this morning, you just will continue to speak and continue to remind us and show us that you are a good shepherd. Your provision is more than enough today. That's a gift you've given us. So can we just rest there? Can we rest there today, Father? I pray we can as we learn to be content and to be thankful people for your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me say, friends, if you're here this morning as one who maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ, maybe you've never prayed and repented of your sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned, Romans 3, and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, me included, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you've never surrendered your life to Christ and prayed and asked him to be Lord and Savior, today is the day you can do that. And then you can say too, the Lord is my shepherd. As a child of God, as one of his sheep. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, we're here at the front. I'm going to ask you just to come and let's pray. We want to pray with you. Lead you in that prayer, committing your life to Christ, and just come alongside you and encourage you. So we invite you to come. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ and God is drawing you to him, we invite you to come this morning. I'll be here. Other pastors and staff, elders, be here at the front. We invite you to come. There may be other things on your heart that are heavy and you want to come and kneel and pray, or you want us to pray with you, or just where you're standing. Maybe you're praying and worshiping there. But let's just continue to worship this morning as we just set our hearts on this truth that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.